56th chapter, subject, the story of Samantak Jewel.
There was a king of the name Shatrujit within the jurisdiction of Dwarka town. It was a great devotee of the demigod, sun god, and he got some benediction from him. Awarded by the sun god a jewel known as Samantak. On the basis of the Samantak jewel, there was a misunderstanding between the king Satrajit and the Jada dynasty. Throughout, the whole thing was settled up when Satrajit voluntarily offered his daughter, Prabhavati, to Krishna, along with the jewel, Samantak. Finally, Satyavati was married to Krishna on account of the incidences. But also, Jambuvati, the daughter of Jambuvati, she was also married to Krishna. These two marriages took place before the appearance of Pradyumna, as described in the last chapter. So, how the king Satrajit offended the Jada dynasty, and how later on he came to his senses and offered his daughter and the Samantak jewel to Krishna. The whole story is described as follows. That's my love. This King Samantak, beginning, was a great devotee of the sun god, and gradually he began very much in friendly relationship with the sun god. As such, the sun god was very much pleased on him and delivered to him an exceptional jewel known as Samantha. When this jewel was used by Satrajit, the locket on his neck, he appeared exactly like an imitation sun god. Sometimes, putting on the jewel on his neck, he entered the city of Dwarka, and people considered him that the sun god might have come into the city to see Krishna, because they knew Krishna being the supreme personality of Godhead, sometimes the demigods also come there to visit. So while Satrajit was visiting the city of Dwarka, except Krishna, all the inhabitants of Dwarka took him as the sun god himself. Though King Satrajit was known to everyone, he could not recognize on account of dazzling effulgence of the jewel Samantak. The important citizens of Dwarka mistook him as the sun god himself. Therefore, some of them immediately went to Krishna to inform him about the arrival of sun god to see him. At that time, Krishna was playing on chessboard. The residents of Dwarka spoke as follows. My dear Lord Narayan, you are the supreme personality of Godhead, and your plenary portion form of Narayana or Vishnu, having four hands with different kinds of symbols like conchel, disc, cup, and lotus flower. You are actually the owner of all these The plural is representation. But in spite of your becoming the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, you have descended in Vrindavan to act as the child of Jasoda Ma, who sometimes used to tie you up by her ropes, and you are celebrated therefore with the name as Damodar. This acceptance of the citizens of Dwarka, Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan, is later on confirmed by great Mayavadi philosopher and leader Shankaracharya. His acceptance of Lord being impersonal does not mean that the Lord has no personal form. He meant everything formal in this material world are subjected to creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, hasn't got such material form subjected to the rules of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Because Shankaracharya, in order to convince the less intelligent class of men who accept Krishna as ordinary human being, he said that God is impersonal. This impersonality means that he is not a person of this material condition. He is a transcendental personality without any material body. A citizen of Dwarka addressed Lord Krishna not only as Damodar, but also as Govinda, which indicates that Krishna is also a very affectionate cows, and he is known therefore as a cowherd's boy. He gives pleasure to the cows and the calves. Therefore he is known as Govinda. At last, the citizens of Dwarka, understand that intimate connection with Krishna, they addressed him as Jadunanda. He is the son of Vasudev and born in the Jadu dynasty. This way, the citizens of Dwarka concluded by addressing Krishna as the supreme master of the whole universe. The citizens of Dwarka addressed Krishna in so many different ways, feeling the pride of their being citizens of Dwarka, who could see Krishna daily. Satrajit was visiting the city of Dwarka. They felt it a great pride, because Krishna, although he was living in Dwarka like ordinary human being, the demigods used to come and see him. Thus they informed Lord Krishna that the sun god, with the yearling effulgence of the body, was coming to see him. The citizens of Dwarka confirmed that the sun god's coming into Dwarka was not very wonderful, because people all over the universe who are after searching the Supreme Personality of Godhead has now known that he has appeared in the family of the Jadu dynasty, and living in Dwarka as one of the members of the family. Thus they express their gladness on account of this occasion. On hearing the statement of the citizens of Dwarka, the all-pervasive personality of Godhead, Krishna, was simply smiling. And Krishna, thus being pleased with the citizens of Dwarka, informed them the right thing, that the person whom they have described as the sun god was actually King Satrajit, has come to visit Dwarka city to show his opulence that he has obtained such valuable jewel from the sun god. Satrajit, however, did not come to see Krishna, but he was overwhelmed with the jewel of Samanta. Therefore, he installed the jewel in a temple to be worshipped by his engaged Brahmins. This is an instance of the less intelligent persons worshipping the material things. In Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that less intelligent persons, in order to get immediate result of their fruitive activities, they worship the demigods who are created within this universe. So, materialist means who are concerned with gratification of senses within this material world. This Samanta jewel, although Krishna asked for it, as it will be known later on, the King Satrajit, instead of delivering it to Krishna, he installed the jewel to be worshipped by him. And why he will not worship that jewel? That particular jewel, Samantak, was so powerful that it was producing daily a large quantity of gold. Quantity of gold is described as a measurement of bhara. According to Vedic formulas, this one bhara measurement is 16 pounds of gold. One mon means 82 pounds. Actually, the jewel was producing about 170 pounds gold every day. Besides that, it is learned from Vedic literature that wherever this jewel is worshipped, there is no possibility of the occurrence of famine in that part of the world. Not only that, there was no possibility of anything inauspicious, like pestilence, disease, and similar things. The Lord Krishna, in order to teach to the world that anything best should be offered to the ruling chief of the country, he, on behalf of Ugrasen, was the overlord of many dynasties, and happened to be the grandfather of Krishna. So Krishna asked Satrajit, present the jewel Samanta to King Ugrasen, pleaded that anything best should be offered to the king. Satrajit, being worshipper of the demigods, had become too much materialistic. Instead of accepting the request of Krishna, he thought it wise to worship the jewel in order to get 170 pounds of gold every day. Realistic persons who can achieve such huge quantity of gold every day are not interested in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes, therefore, Krishna, in order to show a special favor to a certain person, he takes away great accumulation of materialistic wealth from the person, and thus makes him a great devotee. Satyajit refused to abide by the order of Krishna, and he did not deliver the jewel to him. That's all. After this incident, sometimes his younger brother, in order to show the opulence of the family, took the jewel and put on his neck, and on the back of the horse he went to the forest to take a show of his material opulence. While he was moving in the forest here and there, a big lion perchance attacked him. Lion killed both brother of Satrujin, known as Prasen, as well as the horse on which he was riding, and took away the jewel in his cave. This news was received by the gorilla king Jambuvan. Thus he killed that lion in the cave and took away the Samantak jewel from the animal. Jambuvan was a great devotee of the Lord since the time of Lord Ramchandra. So he did not took the valuable jewel as very much needed by him, but he gave it to his younger son to play with it as a toy. Here in the city, Satrajit, without finding his younger brother Prasen coming back from the forest with the jewel, became very much disappointed. He did not know that his brother was killed by a lion, and again the lion was killed by a Jambuvan. But he was under contemplation that Krishna wanted that jewel from him. He did not deliver. He might have taken the jewel away from his brother by force and killed him. This rumor fabricated him in that way. Therefore, he decided to take with him the inhabitants of Dwarka and go to the forest to find out the Samantak jewel. Krishna, along with important men of Dwarka, went to search out the brother of Satrajit, Prasen, but he found him dead, killed by the lion. At the same time, Krishna found the lion also was killed by Jambuvan, apparently called by the name Rikha. It was found that the lion was killed by the hand of Rikha without any assistance of weapon. All of them found out a great tunnel, the forest, said to be the path of Rikha's house. Krishna knew that the inhabitants of Dwarka would be afraid of entering the tunnel. Therefore, he asked them to keep outside the tunnel, and he himself alone only entered the dark tunnel to find out Rikha Jambuvan. After entering the tunnel, Krishna saw that the much valuable jewel known as Samantha has been given to the son of Rikha as something, a toy. And in order to take the jewel from the child, he went there and stood before him. The caretaking nurse of the child of Rikha, after seeing Krishna standing before her, she was very much afraid of thinking the valuable jewel, Samantha, may be taken away by him. Out of fearfulness, however, he began to cry very loudly. Jambuman, just after hearing the nurse crying very loudly, immediately appeared on the scene with great angry mood. Jambuman was actually a great devotee of Lord Krishna, but because he was in angry mood, he could not recognize his master. He thought him to be an ordinary man. Statement of the Bhagavad Gita, Lord advising Arjuna to get free from the attitude of anger, greediness, and lust in order to rise highly on the spiritual platform. These three items, namely lust, anger, and greediness, running parallel in the heart of a non-devotee, check on becoming or progressing on the spiritual path. Number one, therefore, without recognizing his master, before him, challenging to fight with him. There was a great fight between Krishna and Jambuman. The fighting was exactly like the same executed by two opposing vultures. Whenever there is a eatable corpse of dead body, the vultures fight between themselves hardly, get out the prey for themselves. The fighting between the two began first of all with opens, then with stones, then with big trees, then by hand to hand, at last by feasting one another, like the striking of thunderbolts. Both of them were expecting victory over the other. The fighting continued for these together all along, both in daytime and nighttime, without any stoppage. And in this way, the fighting continued completely for 28 days. Next para, in that fighting, although Jambuan was the strongest living entity of that time, still, on account of constantly being struck with the fist of Sri Krishna, practically all the joints of his bodily limbs became slackened. And on account of this, his strength of the body reduced practically to nil. As he was feeling very much tired, there was perspiration all over his body. Thus, Jambuan became astonished that who might be his opponent fighting so hard with him. Jambuan was quite aware of his superhuman bodily strength, but when he felt himself so much tired, being stroken by Krishna, he could understand that Krishna was nobody else than his worshipable Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This incident of Jambuman's fighting with Krishna has a special instruction for the devotees. Jambuman, in the beginning, could not understand Krishna because saw him in the beginning in material attachment. He was attached to his boy and great valuable jewel, Samantha, which he did not like to spare to Krishna. And when Krishna came there, he thought that he had come there to take out the jewel, so he became angry. This material position, although he was very strong in body, could not help him to understand Krishna. Krishna also, in a sporting attitude, wanted to make a mock fighting with his devotee. As we have several times explained, that the Supreme Personality of Godhead has all the propensities and instincts like a human being. Sometimes, in a sportive spirit, he also wishes to fight or make a show of bodily strength, and when he so desires, he selects some of his suitable devotee who could give him that pleasure. So Krishna desired for this pleasure of mock fighting, and Jambuman, although he was a devotee by his nature, and still without knowledge of Krishna, he gave service to the Lord by his bodily strength. But as soon as Krishna was pleased by the fighting, he, Jambuman, could immediately understand that his opposing party was no other than the Supreme Lord himself. The conclusion is that he could understand Krishna by his service. Krishna is also sometimes satisfied by such fighting also. Jambuman therefore addressed the Lord, "My dear Lord, I can now understand who are you. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the source of everyone's strength, wealth, reputation, beauty, wisdom, everything." The statement of Jambuman is exactly in pursuance of the Vedanta Sutra, that the Supreme Lord is the source of everything. Jambuman confirmed Lord Krishna being the old Supreme Personality, Lord Vishnu. My dear Lord, you are the creator of the creators of this universal affairs. The statement of Jambuman is very instructive to the ordinary man. An ordinary man is amazed by seeing the activities of a certain person with exceptional brain. Take for example, one is surprised to see the invention of a great scientist. The statement of Jambuman confirms it, that a scientist may be a creator of many wonderful things, but Krishna is the creator of such scientists, not only one, but many, many millions and trillions all over the universe. Not only that, Jambuman said that you are not only creator of the creator, but you are also creator of the ingredients which are manipulated by the so-called creators. Scientist takes advantage of the physical elements or laws of the material nature and does something wonderful, but actually such laws and elements are also creation of Krishna. This is actually scientific understanding. Less intelligent class of man do not try to understand who created the brain of the scientist. They are simply satisfied by seeing the wonderful creation or invention of the scientist. Bhagavan continued to say, "My dear Lord," he said, "simply by my Lord's glance over it, and when the whole ocean water became so agitated, the living entities like the whales, alligators, and teeming-all fishes, all of them became perturbed in their existence. These teeming-all fishes in the ocean can swallow up big aquatics like whales in one stroke. This way, the
ocean was forced to give way to cross it up to the end of the island known as Lanka, in bracket, now supposed to be Ceylon. This construction of bridge over the ocean from Cape Kumari to Ceylon is still well known to everyone. After construction of the bridge, there was fire set all over the kingdom of Ravana. After this, when there was actual fighting with Ravana by your serpent arrows, each and every part of his limbs were cut into pieces. At last, his head was fallen down on the face of the world. Now I can understand that you are no other than my Lord Ramchandra. Otherwise, nobody has such strength, immeasurable, who could defeat me in this way. But in this way, Lord Krishna became satisfied by the prayers and statement of Jambavan, and immediately to trigger the pains of the body of Jambavan, he began to smear his lotus palm of the hand all over the body of Jambavan. Jambavan also immediately felt pretty much relieved from the fatigue out of bodily exercise on account of the great fight. But Krishna then addressed him as the king, Jambavan, because he was actually the king of the forest, not the lion. The lion was killed by him without any weapon. In naked hand, he could kill the lion's even. Krishna informed him that he came to him for asking the Samantak jewel, because on account of the Samantak jewel being stolen, his name has been defamed by a less intelligent class of men. But Krishna plainly informed him that in order to be free from the defamation, he had come there to ask him the jewel. Bhagavan then could understand the whole situation, and to satisfy the Lord, immediately he not only delivered the Samantak jewel, but also he brought his daughter of marriageable age and presented to Lord Krishna. This way, the episode of Jambavati's marriage with Krishna and delivery of the jewel known as Samantak was finished within the cave of the mountain. But outside the cave of the mountain, as it may be remembered, all the citizens who followed Krishna, they remained outside the cave or tunnel of the hill, and Krishna alone entered the dark tunnel to find out Jambavan. And the fighting was going on for 28 days between Krishna and Jambavan. The inhabitants of Dwarka, who were waiting outside the tunnel, they could not enter it, but they waited and waited for 12 days. And after that, they thought that something undesirable might have happened, or could not understand what actually happened, and being very much sorry and tired, they returned to the city of Dwarka. When the citizens thus returned home without Krishna, all the members of the family, namely mother of Krishna, Devaki, his father, Vasudev, even his chief wife, Rukmini, along with all other friends, relatives, and inmates of the palace, became very, very sorry. Krishna was left alone within the tunnel, and the inhabitants had come back. Their natural affection for Krishna, they began to call by ill names Satrajit, because he was the cause of Krishna's disappearance. But they went to worship Goddess Chandrabhaga, praying for return of Krishna. Goddess also, being satisfied by the prayer of the citizens of Dwarka, immediately offered them her benediction. Simultaneously, Krishna also appeared to the scene, accompanied by his new wife, Jambavati. All the inhabitants of Dwarka and relatives of Krishna became too much engulfed. The inhabitants of Dwarka became engulfed exactly in the same way when a person gets back his dead relative. In other words, the inhabitants of Dwarka concluded that Krishna was severely afflicted or put into great difficulties on account of the fighting. Therefore, they became almost hopeless of his return back. But when they saw actually Krishna had returned, not alone, but with another new wife, Jambavati, they immediately performed another ceremony on this occasion. Krishna then called for a meeting of all kings and chiefs, like King Ugrasen and others. He invited also Satrajit, after explaining the whole incidents of recovering the jewel from Jambuban. He wanted to return back the valuable jewel to King Satrajit. Satrajit, however, became too much ashamed because he unnecessarily defamed Krishna, accepted the jewel by his hand, but he remained silent, bending his head downwards, without speaking anything in the assembly of the kings and chiefs. He returned home with the jewel. Then he thought within himself how he could unblemish himself from the abominable action he had done by defaming Krishna. He was conscious that he had offended Krishna very grievously, and he must find out some remedial measure so that Krishna may again be pleased upon him. King Satrajit was too much agitated in his mind how he could get relief from the anxiety which was foolishly created by him, being too much attracted by material things like the Samantak jewel. He then thought it wise that the best thing would be to return the jewel to Krishna along with his beautiful daughter, Satyavati. Without this action, there was no other alternative to mitigate the situation. In other words, when Satrajit was too much afflicted for the offense he committed towards Krishna and sincerely wanted to rectify it, Krishna from within gave him the good intelligence, and he decided to hand over his beautiful daughter and the jewel to Krishna. After this, he arranged the marriage ceremony of his beautiful daughter Satyavati with Krishna. Later on, he gave in charity both the jewel and his daughter. to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Tripathi was so beautiful and qualified that in spite of being asked by many princes for the hand of Satyavati, Satyajit was finding out a suitable palilla for his beautiful daughter, and later on, by the grace of Krishna, he decided to hand her over to him. Lord Krishna, however, being pleased upon Satyajit, informed him that he did not require any assistance of the jewel Samantha. Better let it be remain the temple as you have kept, and every one of us will derive the benefit. The jewel in the city of Dwarka, that there would be no more any famine or any disturbances created by pestilence or excessive heat and cold. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta part of chapter 56, Krishna, the matter of the story of Samantha's jewel.